Button. Got it. Okay. On the handout here for this last MS, it's on the right side of the page, and we're going to start with the one, which is column 2, 3 paragraphs down, where it says Bepasuk Vikidashto. Vikidashto. Now that is a pasuk that's referring to the Kohanim. And the Kohanim are sanctified. They have a special born-in Kedusha, the Kohanim. And he says, Pirish, Shekedushas HaKohanim Toli B'Kedushas B'nei Yisrael. The holiness of the Kohanim is contingent upon, is dependent upon the holiness of the Jewish people. Now, the reason he says that, where is he coming from? Because the Torah says, V'kidashto, talking to B'nai Yisrael, you shall make him holy. So it sounds like his Kedusha is coming from us, that we're sanctifying him. So how do we deal with that? Because we know that the Kohanim's Kedusha is innate. It's by birth. So what does he mean, this Vasemes, V'kidashto? Now, halachically, that means we have to honor him. A kohen is given the first aliyah. If there are distributions of things that are to be given out, a kohen comes first. But the Sassemis is talking on a different level right now, and it sounds like some of his kedusha derives from us. So what does he mean? Shetzurichi nehis kadesh. That means that a Jewish person has to make themselves holy. We're mekadesh ourselves. Af mi she'eno yochol lihiyos kadosh mamish. Even one who cannot be truly holy, which means you can't become a kohen. If you're not born a kohen, you can't get kahuna. You can't buy it at the store. You can't get it from your local Orthodox rabbi. It's got to be yours by birth. So that's what he means. Every Jew can become holy, but you can't become a Kohen. Afal pike, nonetheless, ma'ad kedusha shelo mosif koach lozeh ha'ish ha'meyuchad li kedusha. To me, very beautiful line. A person who is mosif kedusha for themselves, if we make ourselves more holy, then that's mosif. That adds on to the very unique and specific Kedusha which a Kohen has by birth, lehis kadesh kara'ui, to become sanctified appropriately. So this is how this Vasemes kind of resolves this dilemma. Sure, the kahuna is by birth. That comes from Hashem. But the kidash to means, because it sounds like it's coming from us, that to the extent that we are Mekadesh ourselves, the Kohanim become even more holy. So they're Tolui on B'nai Yisroel. The Kain Kasuv, and it also says in the Torah, HaKohen HaGadol Me'achav. I forgot if it's this week's Parsha or if it's last week's Parsha, I forgot which one. HaKohen HaGadol, the Kohen which is greater than his brothers. It's talking about the Kohen Gadol. But the diuk in the pasuk that the Chachamim make is me'echav, greater from his brothers. So it sounds like the Kohen Gadol's Kedusha is also deriving from the Kedusha of the rest of the Kohanim. Dorshu Chazal. So the Chachamim darshan that. What does it mean, me'echav? Gadlehu Mishel Echav. Make him great from his other brethren, the other Kohanim. What does that mean? A Kohen Gadol needs to be wealthy. Let's say he gets appointed and he has no money. He's poor. All the other Kohanim have to contribute to make him wealthy. That's a halacha. Gadlehu Mishel Echav. If he doesn't have wealth, then his brothers, the other Kohanim, give him of their wealth in order to make him wealthy. Now the Svasemes is saying, okay, that's the halacha, and beyond the halacha is the same principle he's talking about. Gadlehu Mishel Echav, make him great from the others. His Kedusha derives from the other Kohanim as well. V'hu kidavareinu hana. This is as we have been discussing, this is what we are meaning. V'havein, and understand this well. So I'd like to elaborate on this very important concept a little bit. Two levels here. One, the Kedusha of the Kohanim grows or expands from the Kedusha of the rest of the Jewish people. The Svasama says, the more we are Mekadesh ourselves, the more Kedusha goes to him. Secondly, the Kedusha of the Kohen Gadol also derives from the Kedusha of the other Kohanim. It's like another level up. Kelal Yisroel, Kohanim, Kohen Gadol. But if you think about it, it's like everybody is standing one on top of the other, dependent on everybody else. So there's a few things about that. When it comes to the Levim, later on in Sefer Bamidbar, the Torah says that the Levim come mitoch b'nei Yisrael. Take the Levim from out of the midst of the Jewish people. But this is the same concept. The Kedusha of the Levim derives from Kedushas Klal Yisrael. You can't be a Levi unless you're first a Jew. That's where it all starts. Same thing over here. You can't be a Kohen unless you're first a Jew. So the fundamental Kedusha is being a Jew. And from that Yisodos Dika Kedusha comes the Kedusha of the Kohanim, the special nature of the Levim, above that the Kohen Gadol, but it's all mitoch b'nei Yisrael. It's coming from the Jewish personality, the collective Jewish soul, the Yiddish and Neshama that we are all part of. It says when Aaron HaKohen is buried, later on in the Torah, that he's buried on Hor HaHor, the mountain of the mountain. Kind of an unusual name. So Rashi says, based on Chazal, that Hor HaHor was a mountain that was on top of another mountain. That's where Aaron HaKohen, the first Kohen Gadol, was buried. Now, what does that mean? To me, it means this concept, that here's Aaron HaKohen, one day a year, he's a Kohen Gadol, he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. No one else can do it. He's the holiest person in Klal Yisrael. But what's he standing on? He's standing on B'nai Yisroel. He's not going in there really by himself. Physically, he's by himself. But he's going in there with the support of the entire Jewish people. And I think that that might be the symbolism of his being buried on a mountain on top of a mountain. So we're the mountain. Klal Yisroel is the first mountain. And he is the mountain on top of us. So that second mountain cannot reach its peak unless it's standing on the one below it. There's a famous story about the Baal Shem Tov, Chus HaYogin Aleinu. The story goes like this, that he was davening amongst his Hasidim and Talmidim, and he was davening a very long Shemone Esrei, and eventually people got a little impatient, and they started to slip out of the room. And then, as people started to slip out of the room, one after another, he stepped out of Shemone Esrei and he was finished. So they could tell that something happened there, that he wasn't quite pleased. And they said, Rebbe, what was the matter? So he said that, I'm standing along Shemone Esrei, I'm doing certain things in my tefillos, but I can only do it when you're here. Because I'm standing on you. I'm totally on you. So when people started to leave at a certain point, I could not reach that higher place anymore. Because my tefillos are totally on your being here with me. And that's mamish this lesson. That the kidash to, the kedusha of the Kohanim comes from the kedusha of B'nai Yisrael. The Kedusha, the Kohen Gadol, comes from the Kohanim, which comes from Bnei Yisrael. It all derives from the basic Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. That's where everything else comes from. Moshe Rabbeinu, it all came from there. So that's what the Baal Shem was saying to his students, I can only get to certain heights as long as you're with me. But if you're not with me, I can't travel up there. And I think it's a beautiful and relevant thought, because we think about Klal Yisrael really as one being. And our greatest people who reach the great heights that they do, certainly based on their own avoda and their own hard work on themselves, the relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also based on the fact that they're with Klal Yisrael and coming forth from Klal Yisrael. We talk about that there's a mashal that many people say that the people in the later generations like us that were standing on the shoulders of the giants previously. So this is the other way around. This is that they reach their heights based on the basis, that first mountain of Klal Yisrael. And from there they can go upward. That's the Kidash Toh. Okay, any comments or questions? Yes, please. Sorry.
It reminded me of a pasuk that says, and I heard a Hasidish interpretation of it, that Hashem is nitzav aleinu, that he's kivyachol. Obviously, Hashem needs nothing.
Right.
But he has made himself dependent on our mitzvahs,
right,
and our kavanas.
Right.
And that he, because he wants to, he needs that from us.
Yes, as you said, kivyachol, so to speak. So you are Hashem, the Holy One. You're sitting on the prayers of the Jewish people. Hashem is, so to speak, his throne. What he sits on is Tehillos Yisrael, the praises of Klal Yisrael. Okay, Yashur Kol, thank you. Okay, now we'll take a look at the one right above that. And there are some related concepts in this mimer. And it begins with Vinikdashti. Thanks. So pasuk here in our parsha, Vinikdashti besoch b'nei Yisrael, and I will be sanctified in the midst of the Jewish people. Another besoch, in the midst of. Chazal pirshu, the Chachamim explain, Limsor atzmo akedushas Hashem yisborach. This is the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, that we give our life for our Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm sorry? The one right above it, right here with the Vinikdashti. Second column, about six lines down. Vinikdashti, right there on my finger. Okay. So there is a mitzvah in the Torah of Kiddush Hashem, that refers to giving up our life, mamish, for our Kodesh Baruch Hu. In certain circumstances, we're obligated to give up our lives for Hashem. So that's Vinikdashti Besoch B'nei Yisrael. Pirish, to explain, Iker HaKedusha Toch B'nei Yisrael Davka. Right. Similar idea. Where does Kedusha reside? In the Jewish people. So to take a look at that pasuk, Vinikdashti, there is Kedusha, where? Besoch b'nei Yisrael. In the midst of Klal Yisrael, there's holiness. Now that's Klal Yisrael as a people, as a nation. There's Kedushas Klal Yisrael. But even more than that, Kamo Shekasuv Chazal, the Chachamim say in the Gemara, Gemara Tainus, La'olam yira adam atzmo ki'ilu kadosh shorui toch me'ov. A person should always see himself that holiness resides literally in his me'ayim, in his intestines. Mamish inside of us, in our belly. But that's how we should visualize ourselves, that inside of us is Kedusha. And this is not a poetic expression. He means literally. There's Kedusha inside of us. So we have two levels so far. The Kedusha in Klal Yisrael as a people. And then there's a Kedusha within every single Jew. V'zos ha-Kedusha i'efshar lehargish rak b'mesiris nefesh. So now we add something very big here. What do we do in order to perceive that Kedusha that's within us and within Klal Yisrael? We have to be prepared to sacrifice. Mesiris nefesh is that a person really gives of themselves. They put themselves out. Laman HaTorah, Laman HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Laman Klal Yisrael. So if we're following the mitzvot routinely, that doesn't mean that there's not Kedusha there, but we're not going to really perceive it too much. To really get in touch with the Kedusha that's inside of us requires Mesiris Nefesh. Hard work. Really putting ourselves into it. V'gam lahachnis atzmo toch kololus Yisrael. And in addition to that, we have to put ourselves into Klal Yisroel. Now, you could say, well, we are, right? We are in Klal Yisroel. That's why we're sitting in this room together. A lot of nice Jews sitting together learning Torah. So what does he mean, lahachdis? So I think the idea is that he's talking about more than just being born a Jew. But that we have to actively see ourselves, experience ourselves as part of Klal Yisrael. That we're part of a larger being called Klal Yisrael. V'gam al yidei habitul l'klolus Yisrael. And by means of completely giving ourselves over to the Jewish people and experiencing our identity in that way, Yecholin limsor nefesh, that allows us to be moser nefesh. Okay, so I don't know if you remember last week, we kind of went two directions on a certain idea, that one thing produces the other, and the other produces back to it. This is a similar idea. The Sasemis takes this mahalik a lot. On the one hand, that mesiris nefesh helps us to perceive the kedusha that's within us. If we extend ourselves into our Yiddishkeit, really put ourselves into it. On the other hand, by being in Klal Yisroel and perceiving ourselves as really part of something, part of Klal Yisroel, that produces the ability in the other direction to be Moser Nefesh. Because where does that come from? Like you see certain people who are Moser Nefesh for Klal Yisroel. They would do anything for the sake of the Jewish people. That's what they live for, Klal Yisroel. So that Mesiris Nefesh comes from a very fiery and foundational motivation of, I want to do everything I can for the sake of Klal Yisroel. When a person lives that way, they're more prepared to be Moser Nefesh because that's their state of mind. That's their state of being. It's not just that they have an idea, I should be Moser Nefesh. They have a value, I should be Moser Nefesh. That's already a Madrega. But they're living it. They're living this part of Klal Yisroel mentality. And as a result of that, they are Moser Nefesh. I heard about an Adam Gadol in our time, who said when he reached his 70th birthday, that now his life is dedicated to Klal Yisroel. He got to that point, and the rest of his life, it's for Klal Yisroel. So there's something here that Sfasemis is telling us that it's not enough just to know that we're Jewish. It's not enough. We have to dive into it. We have to dive into our Yiddishkeit. This is lahachnis es atzma. To really go in deeply into our Jewishness. And that is through Mesiris Nefesh, and it also produces Mesiris Nefesh. Kamo Shukasuv Chazal Zechachamim said, Shehamitzvah Ba'asora Shenikra Toch Ayin Sham, that giving up one's life in the midst of a minyan, in the presence of a minyan, which is also another level of Mesiras Nefesh, that that's Toch B'nei Yisrael, within the Jewish people. Ki, Hanhogas B'nei Yisrael L'mayla Min HaTeva, as we all know, that when it comes to the Jewish people, we are an above nature people. The laws of nature don't really apply to us. It appears like they do, and certainly on our day-to-day life, it looks like the laws of nature apply to us. We get up and we're hungry, and we have to rest, and we have to get a parnasa. But if you step back and look at the history of Klal Yisrael, we shouldn't be here today. Shouldn't be here. We're a Lamala Min HaTeva people. That's part of who we are. Lachain, b'koach b'nei Yisroel la'asos neged ha'teva. So you see, it's within the ability of any Jew to do something contrary to nature. Right? We shouldn't perceive ourselves as being so hemmed in by nature. U'memela ha'teva misbatel ba'avuram. And then teva, nature, falls away for the sake of the Jew. Now, we don't want to be, you know, delusional here and walk away and think that the laws of nature don't apply to us and therefore I'm going to do all kinds of things that are above nature, because we can't. And I think we all understand what he's talking about. It doesn't mean that we should assume that we can just live this life that's lamal min teva, but rather that it's part of the Jewish people. It's part of the nature and the history of the Jewish people. And therefore, that is really within every single Jew. Something inside of us that can exceed the boundaries of nature. That's what it means to be a Jew. V'zeh shekasuv ani Hashem mekadishchem. The Torah says, I am Hashem who made you holy. Hamotzi yaschem me'eretz Mitzrayim. I took you out of the land of Egypt. So we all know that Chazal, no slave ever got out of Egypt. That's what the Chachamim say. Nobody ever walked out of there. By the laws of nature, we shouldn't have left Mitzrayim. They were completely dominant. But Hashem stepped in and said, nature doesn't apply to you, my dear children, Klal Yisrael. You're coming out. I'm pulling you out. So we were born as a people like that. That's how we were made. Yetzias Mitzrayim. Not only we left slavery, but we also were given the ability to exceed the boundaries of Teva because Hashem is with us. And that's how our people was made. Lachain, therefore, b'yichol teichem limsur nafshechem al kidush shemi kanal. So we have the ability to be moser nefesh, even beyond what nature would require, would dictate, when it comes to Kiddush Hashem. V'isa b'Rashi v'Toras Kohanim. Rashi brings this down. I think that's a misprint. I think that should be Ayin Mem. That's my recollection. Al-Menas Zeh. Al-Menas Zeh Hotzeitzi Yashem. Hashem said, I took you out of Mitzrayim for this reason, to be holy people. It wasn't just the people leaving slavery. There was a purpose behind it, to become holy Jews. Pirish, Shekifi Masha Adam Moser Nafshola Hashem Yisbara, to the degree that a person gives himself over to God, Kach Mispatel Hateva, so too nature falls away ba'avuro for him, Umaorer Nise Yitzias Mitzrayim, and miracles like the ones of Yitzias Mitzrayim are awakened, Kamosha Kasavnu B'Makom Acher, as we have written before. Now this Vasemes, as is often the case, is very concise and cryptic. We have to bring it out a little bit. So firstly, he's saying there's something about a Yid which is Lamala Min HaTeva, and it originates from Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because there were no greater boundaries on a people than the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, Meitzar Yom, all this forum say, it's a realm of being constricted and confined. Meitzar, min ha-meitzar, koresika. Yitzias Mitzrayim was not only leaving Egypt, but leaving the boundaries of Teva because Hashem stepped in and took us out. So therefore, that is inside of us. We actually had that as part of our own spiritual personality. And how do we access that? So he says, Mesiras Nefesh. When a Jew gives himself over to a situation in Yiddishkeit, something happening, and we become part of that, we access that. And he adds to that, by knowing that we're part of a people, a holy, special people, that motivates us and gets the fire going inside of us to do great things. So that's Besoch B'nei Yisrael. All of that Kedusha lies within, but we have to tap into it in these numerous ways. Now, the previous Mimer was talking about how one part of Klal Yisrael is dependent on another, and it derives its Kedusha from them. This one is really more focusing on that inherent Kedusha that's present inside of every Jew, and the connection to it of Mesiras Nefesh. I said to somebody recently, we were talking about, you know, great people, some well-known, others not well-known. There are a lot of great Jews, and many of them are not well-known because they're great Jews in the clothing of regular people. So I said that to me, I think what makes greatness is Mesiras Nefesh. That we see people who have that fire. And it can be sometimes a very bright fire. It can other times be a very quiet, hidden fire. And they're able to bring themselves to do great things because of that. They know they're not bound. They're not truly bound. Now I want to talk about the other side of this for a minute, because there's something about what we're saying here which, in my opinion, is dangerous. How many people have I spoken to in my life? I'm exhausted. Right? I can't take it anymore. I can't do anything more than I'm doing right now. So my response to that would not be, well, just be Moser Nefesh, right? I wouldn't say that to some. Maybe some people would. I wouldn't. I would say, take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Got to be healthy. A person who is tired and knocked out, most likely it's because they were already Moser Nefesh, right? For their kids, for their family, for their community. So take care of yourself. And it's through taking care of oneself and being healthy that we are able to be Moser Nefesh where the situation requires it from us. I remember that my Rebbe, Rabbi Twersky, as I saw once, said that one should not operate on a constant level, on a regular basis, beyond their normal abilities, because they will become completely drained. But rather operate within our normal abilities, and then when the situation requires us to exceed them, we'll have the koach to do it. So there's two sides to this. And I'm always a little concerned about the topic of Mesiras Nefesh because people come away thinking like, oh, I've got to do so much more. Okay, that's good. And we do. But we also have to make sure to be healthy people, grounded people, and take care of ourselves. And I really feel that that ability to be Moser Nefesh comes from a place of strength. It does not come from a place of exhaustion. It comes from a place of strength. That's why we can do it. It's our commitment to it, the way the Sfasemis writes it, to believe and know who we are. But it's the foundation upon which Mesiras Nefesh occurs. Yeah, Julie, please.
Can you define what you think is Mesiras Nefesh? Because, I mean, you know, there could be different levels of Mesiras Nefesh. I'm
right.
Assuming, like, it's not just all or nothing. So if a person normally, just even on a simple level, finds it difficult to find time to daven, and I'm just going, whatever it is, do something that they normally don't do, it's hard to get it in, fit it in, or do a few extra things they normally would. What are we defining as Maseres Nefesh?
All of those things that go past the boundary of our regular, normal commitments, all of those things, whether it's a little or it's a lot, lie within the realm of Maseres Nefesh. Anytime a person puts themselves out for the sake of Avodas Hashem, there's Maseres Nefesh involved. It could be really putting oneself out if a person is able to do that and has the ability. It could be putting oneself out in a smaller way if a person has those ability. Anytime we exceed what we normally do, that's Maseres Nefesh. The Gemara says that a person, this is referring to men in this Gemara, a man who chazers his Gemara 101 times, right, will know his Gemara. So many ask, what's the idea of 101? So the Baal HaTanya writes that it was their derech in learning in those days that they would learn whatever they learned 100 times. That was normal. So 101 was one past the normal. That's Maseres Nefesh. And he brings an example, the Baal HaTanya, a very, very fascinating example. So you have the camel driver. And if, I forgot the exact number, I'll just fill in arbitrary numbers. If you hire him to take you 3 miles, it's $20. 4 miles is $40. So what happened? That's not proportional. It's because the normal is 3 miles, $20, 3 miles. A little bit beyond what he normally does, that, for that you got to pay overtime, right? That's already extra. It's not proportional. Once you go past that which is normal, you're in the realm of extra. So yeah, Maseres Nefesh is a whole spectrum of behavior and thought and emotion, tefillah and learning and mitzvah. It's a whole spectrum because it can apply to every single thing that we do. So giving out, putting out a little more than normal is Maseres Nefesh. And I feel very strongly every person has to try to know themselves to what extent they can do that and be okay. Some more, some less, kol echad kefi darko. But it's all Maseres Nefesh. Yeah, please, Gail.
It's just leaving me with a big blank space in my mind.
Okay. Let's see if we can fill it up.
Do I go take a nap or do I push myself that extra?
Right. That's mamish, the daily dilemma, right? Do I go take a nap or do I push myself to do the next thing? And I remember that my wife told me when she read the book, what was it called, Holy Woman?
Oh, yeah.
That Tzaddik said, any time a woman sleeps is a mitzvah. And that was coming from a lady who didn't sleep too much, so it seemed like. So you have to make that, I can't tell you. You have to make that choice. Sometimes the mitzvah is to get a nap. Because if we don't, then we're snappy and we're anxious and we're angry. And like, so who are we helping? Not ourselves, not anybody else. Mm-hmm. Take the nap. You'll feel better. That's like that taking care of yourself. And without the nap, eventually it will catch up and we won't even be able to do what we're supposed to do. And yet there are some times when the right thing to do is forget the nap and go out there and do what needs to be done. The best I can do is just to say sometimes this and sometimes that. We have to know ourselves, learn ourselves, see what's right for that situation.
Is there any criteria to follow?
The criteria really, for me, is what I say before, you have to take care of yourself. If a person's not taking care of themselves, they by definition will not be able to be most nefesh when they need to be. And I think a lot of people are operating in that way. Too much. That's the world we live in. It's a non-stop. You can't even get a second. It's like Paro in Mitzrayim. Every single second the Jews had to be slaving away. The Ramchal writes in the Maseilas Yesharim, that's what Paro was trying to do to us. In addition to the physical labor, he did not want our mind to be free even for an instant. So many demands in the society that we live in. internally, externally. I would often lean toward the taking a nap option, because to me that's part of taking care of yourself.
I agree.
My mom agrees, so sure. That's probably where I got it from.
We have an answer.
Ilana, was your hand up? Someone had? Yeah, please.
I just had a technical question.
Please. Yes, that's in Parsha Semlia.
And what does it mean?
It really means to be sanctified in the midst of Klal Yisrael. It's talking about giving up one's life for Hashem.
So Hashem will be holy from the Yisrael.
Amidst, right. Yeah.
If I could just ask you,
please.
Like last week also, we did that whole concept of the Chai.
Yes.
Were those words actually in Parsha?
Yes. Yes.
That was in
V'chai Bohem was in, I forgot if it was Achrei Mos or Kedoshim, anybody remember? I forgot which of the, it's already last week, I should remember a week later.
I don't know if he discusses concepts or based on the actual words.
Yes. Well, what the Sfas Emes does, as do many Sifrei Hasidus, is they take the actual words of Psuki, they'll look at it at a pshat level for a minute, and then they'll go to an avoda level. They will go from the pshat level to an avodah. Sometimes they'll just skip the pshat level because they understand that we know the pshat. We don't have to talk about simple things, right? So they'll go right to the deeper level. But it will always derive either from a pasuk or a chazal, like this first statement, Menik dashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. So the Sfas Emes' eyes are seeing Kedusha inside of the Jewish people. That's not pshat in the pasuk, but he's saying those words. V'nikdashti, there is Kedusha b'soch, in B'nai Yisrael, the Jews. That's where Kedusha lies. And from there he goes, okay, how do we get in touch with that? How do we perceive that? Mesiras Nefesh, being part of Klal Yisrael, all those things that he said. Yeah. Yes, please. Mrs. Denham. Now that is actually a chazal. That's a Gemara in Tainus. The Sfas Emes there is quoting the words of the Chachamim. So why Davka were they talking about the intestines? Now the context of the Gemara there, and it's very much related to our discussion, one of the Chachamim says fasting is a sin. Not the obligatory fast, but taking upon oneself an extra. Others say it's kadosh. So which one is it? Two opinions in the Gemara. So it depends on the person. It depends on the person. If they're capable of fasting and still working in Avodas Hashem and their fasting does not detract from their Avodas Hashem, then for them that's a good thing. But if their fasting detracts from their Avodas Hashem, they're not meant to be fasting. That would be a mistake for them. That would be a chait for them. They derive that from the Nazir, right? That Rashi tells us because he abstained from one thing, from wine, so there's a little bit of a sin on him. He has to bring a korban for that, even though he did it for higher purposes. So they're talking about food and fasting, and that's where that chazal comes from, that there's kedusha right there in our intestines. You got to be careful what you do to your stomach. Right? Sometimes you got to feed it, sometimes you have to not feed it, but you got to treat it nicely because there's kedusha inside of there. But all Jewish women know that. So. My grandmother, Allah Shalom, my mother's mother, my grandma Eva, she used to have a serving bowl and say, would you like some more? You couldn't answer that question, you just had it. Esther, please.
I'm reminded of the idea that in order to love our fellow Jews as ourselves, the first order of business is to love ourselves.
Right.
And so it seems as if, in order to do Mesiras Nefesh, we need to do Mesiras Nefesh on nurturing ourselves. And a corollary of that, or sort of an image of that that comes to mind is, if you think of a tree and its roots, and they're firmly grounded and balanced, it's been taken care of. And that way it can support a lot more growth above. But if it's not grounded, then those shoots that come off, those are those trees that take down beyond power lines. So I'm kind of taking from that, that is a way for us to look at acceptability of taking care of ourselves.
It's a very nice mashal. It's a very nice mashal. And the first thing that you said about V'ahat Lorecha Kamocha, Rabbi Twisky Zatzal said that from the Tzemach Tzedek. And he said, V'ahat Lorecha Kamocha, you shall love your fellow Jew like yourself, implies self-love. Like yourself. That implies that we love ourselves. And everything starts from there. If we don't have that sense of taking care of ourselves, we're not going to be able to give to others. Now, another tricky part of this, in this society that we live in, it's all about self. Self, self, self. Selfie. It's all about self. So we have to walk this line very carefully. Because there's taking care of oneself, which is wonderful and what we have to do. And then there's being self-involved and self-centered and self-indulgent. And our society, I believe, would call self-indulgence taking care of yourself. We wouldn't. So I think we have to be mindful of that. Like all things with midos and avodas Hashem, we have to be careful on both sides, you know, to walk that balance and be very aware, try to be very aware of what's pulling us in different directions and to stay, the Ramban says, in that very balanced middle path. Linda, please.
I was just going to say what you just said.
Okay. You're very smart. Yeah.
Anyway, that's the way I heard it.
Excellent.
But I also just want to say, this is like up here.
Yeah.
But I just, today is day 3.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, the 30th day of the
Omer. Today is the day for, you know, it's
Gevurah Shebahot.
This is the day.
That's the day
that you cannot be mediocre. You have to try harder.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I will accept that. I'll accept that. Yeah. Sarah, please. Yeah.
I want, regarding what Rav Tversky said about how a person should generally act according to their normal abilities,
right,
and that'll give them the strength, it seems to me that that comes down, that's a spiritual concept, but it comes down to a neurochemical level, because we know that when we have adrenaline in a case of emergency, we're stronger than we can normally
right.
be. And you see, or at least you hear stories, I don't think I've ever seen it on YouTube, of women lifting cars off Chalila, their children,
right.
because they suddenly have this. But if you're constantly having this adrenaline, then it produces cortisol, which is a stress hormone.
Right.
And then you're just going to you're going to fall apart eventually. So
right.
you can't live on a constant basis of adrenaline.
Right.
You have to live normally.
Right. And then, as you said, you can tap into it when that situation arises. And all things, you know, have physical and spiritual counterparts. Right? The Ramchal taught us that every physical thing has a spiritual counterpart. So whatever's happening on the physical level there, that you're describing, is happening on an emotional level, it's happening on a ruchniistic level. It's really all one. It's all one person that we're addressing. And the concept, I think, runs all the way through. Okay, just one second, let me check the timer. Okay, let's take one more. Gail, please, go ahead.
I'm not ready to give up on that. I'm coming to Siberia.
Oh, okay. You're coming back, right?
Yes. You mentioned something about being cranky, and I'm wondering if that could be a gauge. You know, am I going to be resentful, cranky, you know, or can I do it with a full heart?
Or just stom cranky.
Resentful is a good gauge.
What's that?
I think resentment is a good gauge.
Yeah.
Could we use that as, would that be a
Yeah, I think if we're starting to feel resentment and resentful, then it's time to move in the other direction of taking care of oneself. That's usually a good marker. But, you know, I don't want to, you know, overcomplicate it, but going back to that same thing that I mentioned a minute ago, when we live in a very self-centered, self-involved society, it might not take too much to get a person resentful. Because I don't have everything I need, you know. So it's a good marker, but I think just as Jews and Ovdei Hashem, we have to look at that too. And we can't drive ourselves crazy and analyze every single thing. I don't want to put it out in that way, but it's an area where we could be prone to making mistakes in self-evaluation because of the atmosphere of self-centeredness that we live in. Yeah. Okay, so I'm sorry I have to stop. I have a lot of good comments out there, so Rosh Hashem. Have a great day, everybody. Nice to see you. Afreilich Lag Omer to everybody. Amen.